The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
I think if you were to tell like a teacher that, hey, I'm batting 500, she'd say, well, you're failing. Yeah. you're failing.
Yeah, well, I'm not a teacher.
Right. No, you're a baseball guy, so you're batting 500. He's in the news quite a bit right now for a lot of the wrong reasons, and I'm just really curious how this is going to kind of transfer over to the season. Dak Bryant, the starting quarterback for the
Dak Bryant.
I got Dez Bryant. I've got Dez Bryant right
Dez
here in front of me.
Name his son after Dak.
Yeah. No. Dak Prescott. But I've got this quote from Dez Bryant with regard to Dak. He put out this tweet the other day that says, "Get ready to take the blame, Dak, because I really don't see no help coming your way unless a miracle happened. Everybody in the NFC East got better during free agency, but the Cowboys, the draft will not be enough." There's really nothing wrong with that statement. I mean, he's, for one of the maybe rare times in his life, almost 100% correct with what he said there.
Yes, and Dak does deserve some of the blame for that.
You know, with regard to how much money he's taken.
Him getting every bit he could from the Cowboys,
mm-hmm.
and them not having cap flexibility.
Yeah. So you got that. And then his brother, it's like, what is it with these guys and their brothers? I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes that certainly had more than enough challenges with his brother. Dak's brother has come out and taken a shot at Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
Great.
Yeah. His name is Tad Prescott. And so he said, "So if it wasn't clear already, it is now." This is what he tweeted out. "The Eagles have the best front office in the NFL. # how about them Cowboys?" It's like, what are you doing, man? I mean, I get it, but it's like, why would you do that?
I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get what he's doing. How about that? I don't get what he's doing.
I don't think it's helping Dak in any way, shape, or form. It just makes for uncomfortable conversations with Dak and Jerry, probably.
Right. I mean, but it's just like, What in the world's going on? And then he's got this he said she said lawsuit going on, and apparently his accuser, the woman that attempted to extort $100 million from him, is now going to file a lawsuit against him. So there's a lot swirling around Dak right now.
Doesn't feel like we're completely dialed into football, does it?
No.
Like winning football games
no,
and all that good stuff.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And then in the meantime, they're trying to either extend his deal or, rework it. There's no talk of reworking his deal to give the Cowboys relief space. And I don't know enough about the salary cap, because it's very complex, with kind of how teams do it. You know, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes restructured his deal, and apparently with what they're doing, it's not like Patrick's going to take a haircut. I mean, they're going to give him his salary basically as a bonus, and then that provides relief against the salary cap. It's all within the rules of the game, of the salary cap game, to provide them with some, money so they can either re-sign some guys or go get some guys to bolster their roster. And this also comes on the heels of them giving Chris Jones basically almost everything they could to be able to keep him. And but you don't get that conversation. You don't hear that conversation coming from Dak Prescott.
No, it doesn't appear that way.
So, I mean,
when Dez says get ready to take the blame, yeah, seems like he deserves some of it.
Yeah, take the blame. So, I don't know. It just seems kind of weird how that's going for the Cowboys right now. It's not exactly going swimmingly.
Doesn't feel that way
for the Cowboys. But it is crazy, this NFL free agent frenzy where, you know, every day you hear different guys signing for this. I mean, like I heard a backup quarterback signing with the Seahawks on my way in this morning. I never heard of the guy who's going to get $5 million. But it's like, good for him. Mm-hmm, you know, sure. good for him. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys are still looking for a running back. The Baltimore Ravens signed Derrick Henry, which that seems like a perfect fit for them.
Perfect fit, yes.
Doesn't it? I mean,
they're a big, bruising, physical team.
Yeah.
He's the most big, bruising back since Earl Campbell.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and they've got, you know, the biggest of all, you know, quarterbacks that can, you know, run the football in Lamar Jackson, and he's the reigning MVP. And apparently, according to this ESPN article, that the Ravens tried to trade for him before last year's trade deadline, but were unable to do that. He's 30 years old, so he's a little long in the tooth for a running back, but you know, if they use him right, especially behind their offensive line and what they have with regard to, you know, Lamar Jackson, and he should fit like a perfect little glove there.
Sure.
You know, the thing probably for the Ravens that they'll want to do if they get back to the AFC Championship game against somebody is keep running the football.
You would think, though. You would think so.
Because I think if they'd have kept running the football, they would have probably they would have represented the Super Bowl, the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Maybe so.
So, didn't necessarily work out on that. Somebody says this, when you make that much money, can't you afford 24/7 babysitters for your brothers? Yeah.
Somebody says, buy a lawyer, too, and make sure that those guys never get near me again.
Yeah. What are you talking about, Chuck? They signed a deep snapper. Yeah, they signed a deep snapper, right.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Today is Wednesday, March the 13th, 2024, with this day in sports history. Here is Jeff McGuire. I got to tell you, yesterday when you brought up the Truman Doctrine, and I said, you know, made the little joke about, we're going to drop the bomb on you, not me, and you immediately said, we only made two. I mean, that was like stunning top of the mind knowledge. I was very impressed by that. Very serious.
I paid attention to history class when we made the Manhattan Project. We made two.
Yeah.
Then we dropped two.
I know, but I mean, it's one thing to...
We hadn't made the third one yet.
It's one thing to be taught all that. It's another thing to remember that 30
years
later. Yeah, it
was also a long time ago, Jeff. Yeah.
1943. Baseball approves the official ball with a cork core.
Do you ever remember as a kid, like, hitting the bat off the... hitting the cover off the ball, or and then it comes down to this. Well, I mean, like, you had a ball like you played around with in the neighborhood, and then it became like string or whatever, and then you
would, we would have the problem. It wasn't because we hit the ball so hard,
right?
That we played near ponds, and our ball field was near a pond, and somebody fouled one off, and it would end up in a pond, so it would end up getting wet and whatever, and it would kind of, the cover would be you know, not as good as it's supposed to be, and so that sooner or later that would, somebody would hit it and it would start to come apart a little bit, and we didn't have 50 balls to play with, so we just kept playing with it, and sooner or later a game ended because the ball came apart.
Yeah, it had a cork in the middle of it.
Yeah, I was a daisy picker. That was where my skill set was. I wasn't knocking any cover off of any ball.
Well, I don't. Was it a little literally? It was kind of it just kind of figuratively happens. Sometimes you just kind of pick at the ball, and then it would come.
No, apart. I'm talking about picking the daisies.
No, I know what you are. Yeah, in right field, right?
Literally what I was doing. They put me out there in hopes that I wouldn't mess anything up. 1971, 18th ACC men's basketball tournament took place. South Carolina beat North Carolina 52-51. Mm. Ouch. Losing to your rival in the conference championship game by 1 point. That hurts. 1993, Cheryl Swoop scores 53 points for the Texas Tech Lady Raiders in a 78-71 win over Texas in the Southwest Conference Women's Postseason Classic in Dallas. 1994, 15th Big East Men's Basketball Tournament. Providence beats Georgetown 74-64. 2010, 31st, Big East Men's Basketball Tournament. Number 7, West Virginia beats number 22, Georgetown, 60-58. And in 2013, Dejan Kravic, buzzer beater, wins to help Texas Tech beat West Virginia 71-69 in an opening round of the Big 12 tournament. It is National Chicken Soup Day. This feels like a little late in the year for this.
Yeah.
This feels like a September, November type thing.
Yeah.
Chicken soup?
Chicken noodle soup. Well, chicken noodle soup.
Okay.
Yeah. Chicken noodle soup.
Okay, because those sound like completely different things.
Right, I agree with you.
Without the noodle. I don't know. I mean, like, everybody in Lubbock has been sick for, like, the last 3 weeks, so chicken noodle soup seems like it fits right about now.
Not a big fan of the chicken noodle soup. In fact, I won't eat it.
Happy birthday to William H. Macy, who's 74, Trent Dilfer, 52, and Will Clark is 60. And on this day in 1915, Brooklyn Robins manager Wilbert Robertson tries to catch a baseball dropped from an airplane, but the pilot substitutes a grapefruit. Pilot Ruth Law, with outfielder Casey Stengel on board, ready to drop the baseball to Robinson's waiting mitt. But instead of a baseball, she flung a grapefruit out the window. Now, reports differ as to why. Some say that Stengel dreamed up this scenario in order to prank his skipper. But in 1957, Law said that she went airborne before realizing there was not a baseball on board. With no other choice, she flung out the fruit that was supposed to be part of her lunch. Whatever the reason, it wasn't horse hides, but citrus that came tumbling from the skies. Robinson got underneath it, made the catch, and was soon covered with the ooze and goo of a broken grapefruit. He thought it was his own blood. "Help, I'm dying," he would scream, until other teammates showed up and let him know that he's okay, that he wasn't hurt, and that it was just, you know, fruit. Now, gentlemen, I don't know if that's how the Grapefruit League got its name.
Oh.
But if it's not, sometimes, and maybe just me, the legend is better than the story. And that is this day in sports history.
All right, we don't want to let the story get in the facts of a good facts get in the way of a good story, right? Right?
What was that?
Don't want to let the facts get in the way of a good story. Right? I like that. That's good deduction there, Inspector McGuire. That's really good. I'd like to think that. 6:52 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Take your thoughts, comments on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Go to TT973.com for that of the mobile app. Visual Edge IT hotline is open too at 806-771-0973. I saw this last night and thought, well, this is right up our alley. So somebody's at a garage sale. They buy a football helmet, and it turns out to be worth $15,000. The football pretty helmet cool. was from the 1800s. The guy took it to the Pawn Stars there in Vegas, and they had somebody take a look at it. They did some research on it, and it was a medieval Anglo-Saxon iron helmet. They thought it was super cool. It reminded me of an old helmet, is what somebody said. And then, so apparently, they had some kind of metal in there that led them to believe that. The guy originally was looking for $750. And apparently, this guy from a testing lab came in, and it was, instead of a football helmet, an authentic Anglo-Saxon helmet, and it turns out to be worth $15,000, and the Pawn Star guys bought it for $11,000. So the guy goes to a garage sale, buys something he thinks is a football helmet, wants $750 for it, and then all of a sudden now it's worth
$15,000,
and he sells it for $11,000. How about that?
Nice.
That's nice.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm no bracketologist in terms of coming up with how they're going to work this next year, so we'll worry about next year. There'll got to be smarter people than me to be able to figure this out.
I would guess it's just going to have to, you're going to have to win four games.
Maybe so.
I don't think they're going to leave two out, which I don't think it'd be the worst thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's some motivate. Well, not that there's not motivation anyway, but.
I mean, the only reason you leave one out in baseball, though, is because you've got an odd number.
Mm-hmm.
If it was an even number, I don't imagine they would leave somebody out.
Yeah. I get the only thought there is to make our, to feel like the top, you know, four teams or whatever wouldn't have to play as many games. Those are the teams that you expect to go on and do things in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't think, again, this is about money, right?
Yeah. They're not going to reduce the number of games.
They're not going to reduce the number of games with 16 teams. It works out perfectly with a bracket to go 16, 8, 4, 2, 1. Yeah. That's what they're going to do.
The coaches will bellyache about that.
Question that I have is about baseball. What are they going to do then? I mean, with 14 at that point. So, you know, we'll see about that. And that truly is bad for the teams to be running extra pitchers out there and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. One last thing on this. Seeds 9 through 16 play day one. Okay. Winners play seeds 5 through 8 day two, four games. Winners play seeds 1 through 4 day three, four games. Winners play day four, two games. Winner plays for the championship. But see, somebody's potentially still playing four games, but maybe your top four seeds are only playing a couple of days.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if your top four seeds are playing, that means potentially the fan bases aren't coming for those teams, whomever they are, and it's going to hurt
Are the fan bases excited about the postseason.
Right. And so that's going to affect your attendance for the first couple of days. Mm-hmm. But they'll make everybody buy a four-day pass.
Super fun.
Or in this case, five.
Yes. Okay, baseball today, and we'll give away some tickets. I'll tell you what. We'll do this. We'll do caller number five right now. And if you need only two, you can have two. If you need four and you want to take the kids in the neighborhood or your family or whatever, we've got four, and they're all together. If you need four, take four. If you need two, take two and leave
somebody. Or if you want to impress your boss and two other coworkers, do that today.
Yeah. Or if you're the boss, maybe you want to take your, you know, valued employee. Or you take the employee that people don't want to be around and take one for the team for the day. And you spend the day with him or her.
Wow.
I'm good, Chuck. I have a media pass.
just got mean.
I'm not trying to be mean. I was just trying to be helpful. 806-771-0973. That's 806-771-0973. At what point, I don't think you're there yet. I'm just curious if you get to a point in the season where you kind of are who you are. I mean, this is going to be game 14 of 56. So I don't think you're to that spot yet where you go, hey, we've got some, you know, warts about us, whether it's, you know, inability to make some routine plays occasionally at shortstop or second base, or, you know, misplay some things in the outfield, or, you know, we don't run the bases as well, but collectively as a team, we're pretty good. We feel like we can overcome that kind of stuff. Or is that something that you always feel like that you can tinker and improve with?
First off, I don't think that you're a team that runs the bases poorly. You definitely had a weekend where there were some missteps, no question, but I don't think you would go there.
Okay.
I was just kind of
speaking generically. I'm not trying to throw any darts at the team.
Yeah, I would not say that. do I think you that defense will be the strength of your team at any point this year? No. No. So because of the youth and experience that you have in the middle, okay? I think you can say that. But that being said, I don't think that that means that you won't improve or get better in that area. I definitely think you will. I mean, again, TJ Pompey, who, you know, we've spoken about a little bit here, is, I mean, he's a freshman. It's a big jump from high school to college. And, you know, he's probably putting extra pressure on himself right now. And so, you know, that makes every ball that comes his way a little bit more nerve wracking. And he just needs to take a deep breath and all those good things. And I just think he's going to get more comfortable as the season goes along. But that being said, you know, you need him to step it up and improve his game in that area, you know, each time he's out there. And that's what you're looking for at this point. So, again, I don't think you'll ever look at your team and go, defense is our strength. I don't think I'm going to say that. But at the same time, I do think you'll continue to improve in that area.
Do you think he'll go with the same combination that he went with last night with Lopez at short and Pompey at second?
That's a great question. Great question. I don't know the answer. I mean, okay, so let's say you're in the Tracer Lopez camp, right? You're like, it was his first game. He hadn't played shortstop all season long. He deserves more than one night out there, right? If you're the TJ in the TJ Pompey camp, what are you saying? Well, look, he made two errors too.
Yeah,
not as easy as it looks, is it?
No, it's harder than it looks. Yeah. Do you?
So, I would think that Coach Tadlock will give Tracer Lopez more than one game.
Does it? I'm assuming that it does help that your manager was a shortstop. Does that maybe help him be able to kind of help those guys through the rough patches a little bit?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. The other question I have for you is,
I also think it's not good to be bouncing back and forth.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we're here. We got two games this week. Every other week, every other game, we're going to do this. Yeah. But no, I don't think so. I think you want to put those guys in that spot and let them roll for a few weeks. If you don't see something that you like, then you say, okay, we're going back to what we once had. But at this point, I don't think you're going back and forth.
It's not quite like the
kind of
if you don't have one quarterback, if you have two, you don't have one. If you have two shortstops, you don't have one. Like if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
I don't think anybody right now is saying you have a great defensive shortstop.
Okay.
So nobody's saying you have two.
Okay. Yeah. Do you get the sense that either one of those guys has a preference? I mean, like one really, really wants to be the shortstop?
I would guess both of them do.
Okay.
Yeah, I would guess both of them do. I think there's something to be said for it. You know, hey, that's, I mean, TJ Pompey was the number one shortstop in the state of Texas coming out of high school. There's some pride in being the guy, the leader of the infield, all
sure.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think there's some, I don't know what you want to call it here, some macho-ness that comes
machismo.
With, hey, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
Machismo. Okay, there you go. That's the word I was probably searching for. And I'm the guy, and it's probably a bit of a, you know, an ego hit to be bumped over there to second base.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like probably that high school starting pitcher that all of a sudden finds himself in middle relief. And it's like, well, wait a minute, I was the guy. Because, you know, when you get to this, let's face it, when you get to this level of sports, you know, at the college level, the Division I, Power 5, Big 12, virtually all these guys that come here, whether they're a reserve or a starter, whether it's football or baseball or basketball, well, they were probably the best athlete on their team in high school, wherever they're from. They're accustomed to being the guy or the gal. And so it is probably a little bit of a, you know, setback to your ego. And you just got to figure out, okay, how do I make this work? And you make it work by making plays, right?
Yeah, get better.
Yeah.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, Chuck. my question for you guys today. I'm flipping a Red Raider football.
Okay.
And I feel like we're all really excited and have high, high hopes for this upcoming football season.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is what with high hopes and expectations come pressure. Right?
Okay.
So I want you to tell me today, who are the three people in the Red Raider football program that have the most pressure on them?
I think in no certain order, whether it's fan pressure, pressure they've put on themselves, or pressure that's put on to them by administration or the head football coach, I think Zach Kittley. I think to a degree, Joey McGuire, just because he's the head coach. And maybe number three, I think there's always pressure on the quarterback, so I'm going to say Baron Morton.
I think I've asked a bad question. Okay, so I think we're all going to say the same thing. Jeff, do you have anybody?
I'm trying
different?
To think of somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, I've asked a bad question. So put him in order, Chuck.
I did.
So which one was first?
Zach was first. Coach Kittley's first. Only because I think just that for whatever reason, for fair or not, he became the target of the offense because he's the offensive coordinator, and the offense didn't perform like we wanted it. Well, I say like we wanted it. Maybe that, you know, I think didn't perform like maybe they wanted it to perform for whatever reason. Could be injuries. Could be, you know, quarterback play. Could be offensive line play. Could be just didn't just all flow until just didn't flow. Sometimes it just doesn't flow. Sometimes they don't have the recipe just doesn't work. I think Coach McGuire, just because he's the head man, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah,
he's the head. He's the head, and you very easily could put him at the top of the heap because the pressure will be on him if things don't go well to make changes.
I think you have your order is the right order with Kittley at the top because the only reason is because if you were thoroughly frustrated, it's easier to make that change than it is the head coach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, to me, there's no way in the world, I don't know what would have to happen unless it was something nefarious, that Joey McGuire is getting fired after next year.
Oh, yeah, and there's no way.
Okay.
We said the same thing about Mark Adams a few years ago.
Okay, but I said...
he said nefarious.
I said unless there's something no nefarious.
Nefarious, right.
Yes. Yeah. That was nefarious.
Yeah. It was
like you look it up in the dictionary, and there it is.
It's like bizarre.
Okay.
My order's a little different, though, and it starts with the head coach. Because going back to what Chuck was talking about earlier, it's also internal pressure. And I don't know that anybody puts more pressure on that program than the head coach does to get things right and get things going. And because of that, it's internal pressure that he's dealing with, external pressure that he's dealing with being the head coach, and the internal pressure that he puts on himself and everybody else, that it's the double aspect why I put him first. I put Baron Morton second. He's now this will be his third year starting games for the Red Raiders. It's time for the offense to look like a three-year starter does. And I know he's been hurt.
It's not like he's started 12 games.
He hasn't played every game. This is still four off seasons that he's been here for. This is, you know, all of the things that go with Baron Morton being on campus for this long. It's time for the offense to start looking like the offense. And it's close with Kittley being third. Like, that's a one, it's a two. 2A and a 2B situation between him and Kittley for the 2-3 spot, because Kittley needs to do things for Morton that Morton is good at and run the offense for Morton. But Morton's got to execute too. Like it's a two-way street for those two guys.
Well, it's got to start with he's got to stay healthy. healthy. I feel like all three have a lot of pressure on them. I do. And some of what you're saying with Baron, I think is totally fair. You're the guy, you're the dude. Your best ability needs to be availability first and foremost. You got to stay healthy.
They had their first kind of sacrificial lamb with making a change with the offensive line coach.
Yeah, hopefully the last sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, hopefully.
Not just the first, just the only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, the only.
Yeah. But would you say that was because of his the performance of the offensive line?
Yeah, or his...
I wouldn't. Why wouldn't it have been done right at the end of the season then? Why was it done when it was done?
I don't know. That's a great question.
The only answer I have for that is somewhere revolved around recruiting.
I would agree, and I agree with what Jeff said.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, agree.
For the timing of it.
Yeah.
No, I would disagree.
You would disagree with that?
Yeah.
Well, you don't think it's recruiting related?
No.
You don't. No. You think it's off? You think it's performance related?
No, I think there was something that went on that they were not happy with each other.
Okay.
The head coach was not happy with, differing opinions on what they wanted to do or who they wanted to go after or whatever. I don't think they kept him around because they were worried that he had brought in so many offensive line recruits that they couldn't lose.
Well, it's not just necessarily offensive line recruits, but Or maybe it was they weren't.
You guys know of guys that were locked to him, tied to him?
No. I'm just saying he doesn't just recruit offensive linemen. He would.
Okay, but I'm asking you the question. You guys know if there were certain recruits that were that he was. Those were his guys.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question.
I'm speculating with the recruits.
I think there was a difference of opinion on something.
Could be how they handled the development of some of those guys, or
I don't know. If it was all about what they did last year, it would have been done right after the season.
Yeah. I guess that eliminates him then from being a sacrificial lamb because that's not why he was let go. So there wasn't one for last year then.
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting. 7:40 this morning here on the morning drive. I feel like the guy that's got the least pressure on him is Tim DeRuiter going into the season.
His team has performed.
His team performed, right?
His side of the ball has performed.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like that he's that.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Live. Great to have you with us today on Lubbock Sports Station. Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. It's going to be a beautiful day weather-wise as we come to you this morning from our First United Bank studio here in downtown Lubbock. Ballpark game time temperature, Jamie, will be 76 degrees as the Red Raiders take on New Mexico State, game 2 of 2. Red Raiders winning last night by a score of 13-7. And they'll play again today. Our broadcast time for the warm-up show at 1:30, and then play-by-play today at 2 o'clock here on Double T 97.3. We'll also have the game for you on 100.7, The Score. Looks like it's going to be a little windy as we get into the late stages of the game in the 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock hour today as the temperature goes up to what looks to be a high of 79 degrees today. So extremely pleasant conditions, especially for the early goers. If you would like to go to the game today, and you want to take the fam, or you want to take your colleagues at work, or you want to send somebody to the game that maybe annoys you from your work, you can do that too. We've got some tickets.
If somebody gets asked, they're going to have a complex.
No,
they're going to be like, "Oh man, are you
that person's
to get rid
not,
of
that
me?
Person's not listening?
Trying
you know,
to get rid of me.
That person's not the annoying person's not listening.
Annoying people don't listen to our show.
They're around the water cooler right now or the coffee pot, annoying somebody. That's what they're doing. So stand by. We'll give away some tickets here in just a few moments as the Red Raiders take on New Mexico State.
That's funny because I gave my tickets today to David Collier. Uh-huh. So I hope he's not listening and realizes Jamie's just trying to get rid of me.
He's just trying to get rid of me. He's just trying to get rid of me. He must be taking his kids. All right, so we talked about the good from yesterday, and not that I want to dwell on the bad, but I want to dwell on the good because the good was a lot of good from Zane Petty yesterday, and now his next outing, and we'll see if he can duplicate that.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly right, Chuck. You don't want to get too excited over last night because you've seen good things at times, and then him just not be able to follow it up. What do we talk about in football season, Chuck?
Stacking success. Yeah.
So we want to see consistency. That's what it's about. It's not what you can do great one time. It's what you can do great consistently over and over again. And so that's what we're waiting to see from Zane Petty, because I thought it was really telling when Coach Tadlock in the pregame interview yesterday said, and I don't know if I'm wrong on this or not, I feel like Coach Tadlock has been more forthright with, I don't want to say criticism, but like...
How about critiquing?
Critiquing guys. Yeah, that's maybe a good, better word. And I thought he was real blunt yesterday, where he said, hey, it's been the biggest surprise of this coaching staff of this season so far is his lack of success. I mean, just flat out. I mean, that's, I don't want to say it's pointing a finger, but he's saying, hey, we expected much better than we're getting from him. He didn't handle it with kid gloves and be like, well, some pitchers take a little while longer. We're just waiting for him to work through it.
Jamie, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint here.
No, I mean, he was very, very poignant in what he said.
Maybe this is a indication of how he feels his team is mentally, that they can handle some public critiquing.
Well,
and maybe maturity.
Maybe so. And I'll also go back to, I told you earlier this season on one of the pregame interviews that he was really honest with me and saying, hey, I think what this offense has is really good and can be really special. And I think if we get our guys on the mound throwing like we can, I think we have a chance to have a really, really good season. Okay, this team has a chance to do damage in the postseason. He felt like the depth was there, the quality on both offense, defense, whatever. He felt like it was there. And so he didn't hide from setting high expectations for this team. And so maybe that's what he's doing a little bit here is, hey, we expect a lot out of you.
Maybe it's kind of setting the bar a little bit, because that's very un-Tadlock-like of him.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say?
Well, I feel like he never is... he doesn't call guys out very often. He's protective of his players, and when things are going really well, he also doesn't, boost them up too high, right?
Well, it's funny because on his radio show, I was listening on my way home from work on Monday, they were talking early on about players, and he goes, I know I've not left some guys out. He goes, I don't necessarily like talking about individuals or talking
about... Yes, he doesn't.
Listing names.
If you're doing an interview with Coach Tadlock and you want him to talk about one specific guy, ask about the group, and he might pull a name out of there. But if you, like, man, TJ's crushing the ball right now, Coach, he'll be like, yeah, but we need him to, field balls better, or we need him to move runners over better. He's not going to do that.
Yeah, Collier talked about that on the end of the bench the other day, about how, he asked him about, specifically Mac Heuer and how he did, or maybe it was one of the other guys. But anyway, the bottom line was he got like a 7-second comment. He goes, but then I asked him about the defense. He went on for like well over a minute. Yeah. He's like, I felt like I asked a really good question because I got a long answer.
Yeah, well, I mean, with every person you interview, you got to know how to push their buttons
but it does feel like that he's been a little bit, again, with the critique, whether it's positive or maybe just trying to coach him up a little bit. Or
yeah, I go back to thinking, like I said, that he thinks this team can be really good, so he's got high expectations, and he's not backing down from that.
All right, so if you would like to go to the ball game today, maybe you want to get the kids out of the house, away from your lucky lady who could maybe use a break, or maybe she would like to just go to the ballpark with some friends and pop a few and just watch the ball game. We've got 4 tickets if you need 4, or 2 if you just need 2. The number to call is 806-771-0973. It's a 2:00 first pitch. So these are reserved seats. So these are good seats. These are, I think, underneath the awning. So you'd have a little shade as well. So nice, cool breeze.
Great crowd last night. Or Tuesday night.
Sounded like it.
I mean, the weather was perfect. I would say it's spring break. That surely helps. But great.
What caller number, Chuck?
Let's do caller number 3 at 806-771-0973. That's caller number 3 at 806. And you can take 2 or 4. If you just need 2, then take 2. If you need 4, then take 4. All right. Look forward to giving those to somebody and letting you have maybe a good afternoon. Maybe take a customer, or send the annoying people at your office to the base. Hey, why don't you all go to the ball game, Sydney, Jagdish, Muhammad, and take Clayton too.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.